Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney, and that's good, because during the Netflix is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, that combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's 2 in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
Get up and get in the skiff. Get up and get in the skiff. We saw a night in heaven, and you know what that means.
A nigga grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a bold speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Gaines and Street Fighter helped to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado, the Birdemic, how we staying alive. They call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
What's up, people of Earth? And what's up, Los Angeles? We are here at Largo at the Cornet, our LA home. We love this place. It's an amazing, amazing theater, and we are here to talk about an important movie. Before Magic Mike, there, before Magic Mike XXL, there was this film. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't even know what to expect 15 minutes in. It changed about 25 minutes in. And then at the end, it changed again. This movie was the gift that kept on giving, like a Rubik's Cube that I almost solved and then realized I didn't get any further. It showed me different sides of myself and itself. We are so excited to talk about this movie, and I cannot do it alone. I have to do it with my co-host, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks? How we doing, LA?
Welcome, Jason.
Guys, I saw a dick in this movie. I saw that dude's dick.
Did you pass out like the woman who saw it in the movie?
I was like, woo! I fainted the same way that woman in the changing room scene in Ladybugs did. Stiff and to the side.
What surprises me about a movie like this, and similarly
is nothing.
Well, it's the same thing that I
here
found.
Here we are, some 1,200 years into this podcast, and you are still being able to be surprised. I like that.
I'm like a newborn watching these, but to me, what surprises me.
I picture you like a newborn watching these movies, like.
Oh. No. So I'm watching this movie. My substitute nanny is there. And she needed to borrow my car keys, but it was during like one of the biggest sex scenes, and I was
one of the biggest ones.
I guess one of the biggest ones. And I was standing with the computer in front of me on the dresser, just like this. I was fully dressed, but I was just like watching a sex scene on a laptop on a dresser, just like what. You need my car? Yeah, I'll get you my car keys.
Wow.
One of the most embarrassing moments of all time. There's no way to explain it to Ben. No, it's for a podcast. What? Then I got to get into a podcast. And
do a podcast called I'm a Perv. And I got to watch this perv movie for it. It's a documentary about NASA. Is this the only movie that has had this level of unfettered access to spacecraft?
Oh, it is.
Only in service of a inane. I wrote every 10 minutes, is this a movie?
Every
10 minutes I put in my notes, is this a movie?
That is what I'm saying. Like, this movie. We'll get it. We'll break it all.
40 minutes in, I still don't know what this is. 50 minutes in, who's the main character? Whose story is this movie? I'm not kidding.
It's not hyperbole to say this movie is literally killing time. Like this movie was told, like, just wait here. Someone will come and give you a script and actors and everything. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess we'll just walk from the phone to the car, casually.
I wrote, I can't figure out who people are to each other.
We'll get into it. I don't want to get too far into it without bringing out our guests. To finish my thought saying, what is amazing to me is finding these movies, like the John Stamos movie, Never Too Young to Die, and this, and bringing them back to life in some way, because I've never even heard
Zero.
Of this.
Zero. I've never heard of this movie, and I'm upset about it. I wish I'd known.
Me too.
I wish I'd known about Slick.
Well, tonight is a How Did This Get Made All-Star show, which means we bring out one of our favorite people that have been on the show. And this person, we forced her to watch one of the worst movies we've done on the show, Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. You have heard her on many podcasts at the in the Earwolf world. She also is on Bajillion Dollar Properties. Please welcome Tawny Newsome. Come on up. Have a seat. Welcome, Tawny.
Hello. Thank you.
Yeah.
So you're back. Better movie, or at least shorter. 80 minutes.
It was shorter. I got through it in one sitting. Sky Captain took me 4, and I had to rebuy the fucking thing. So thank you for a shorter one and a Vimeo link.
Yes, because this movie is unavailable.
For good reason.
You can't buy it.
I can't imagine why.
Why don't people want this out there? We don't know.
I think Leslie Ann Warren had it pulled from every major distribution platform.
From now on, referred to as the law.
This movie.
Do better.
I liked it.
What did you think? What did you think when watching it? Your first thoughts.
My first thought was this man has built a partly recumbent bicycle.
Yes.
And it's all anyone can talk about.
Yes.
That his bike almost lays down.
He's like a NASA scientist.
And who works the
and
night
everybody's
shift.
Like, your sit-down bike is revolutionary.
Your almost aerodynamic bike is amazing.
Like the first, I'm going to say 60 minutes of the movie is him riding a recumbent bike at Cape Canaveral.
It's a movie where like Orlando is like the promised land, which I always appreciate.
He's also sitting, he's so upright for it to be so leaned back. It's like a beach chair that is broken.
It is odd, though, that the movie would choose to start, well, we'll get into it, but start in this character and spend so much time there.
Oh, yeah, a love montage
yes.
with the bicycle.
This gets back to my question, who's this movie about?
Who is it about? I also feel like it's a woman screenwriter, which I was shocked to find out.
I agree.
Because
we cannot let women write movies. Thank you, Tony, for agreeing with me.
Something you've been really banging the drum on.
We cannot let these women write these movies.
Jason knows how I feel. We're too hysterical to write emotional plots.
What if when you were writing the movie, you get your period?
Yes,
you can't finish
movie's
writing
going
that
great.
Movie.
The movie's going great. Next thing you know, blood's all over the screen.
Yeah, and then bears come.
Next thing you know, you're pushing the button. Right. Nuclear war.
I guess I sort of feel like this woman screenwriter was trapped. Like, she was like, I want to give voice to these women characters.
Yes.
But Hollywood will kick me out, and I will then only be able to write, like, the back of Good Friends cereal boxes afterwards. Everybody remember Good Friends?
From Kashi, the Kashi box.
Yeah, yeah. Kashi Good Friends cereal. It always had an interracial couple on the cereal box. It was very progressive. So I feel like she was just struggling.
I didn't buy it.
You didn't like it?
I didn't buy it.
No?
I auditioned a number of times to be one of the couples.
Uh-huh, but they couldn't decide if you were brown or white.
They were like, you're too confusing.
Too confusing.
We'd like to put you on our other cereal that's gross.
All right, well, we'll get into it all. We'll bring out our final guest. She is a writer. She's a stand-up. You've seen her on shows like Loosely, Exactly Nicole. Please welcome Jen D'Angelo. Come on out. Have a seat. Welcome, Jen.
Yep.
Hello.
Hey.
All right, so Jen, you get assigned this movie, and you hit play. First thoughts?
I really was like, right off the bat, it's so confusing what it's going to be about. And one of the first lines of dialogue is somebody watching a commercial on TV, and they're like, "This girl is Don and Personnel's daughter, and she's dating a man named Terry." And you're like, what?
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, are we supposed to recognize her? Because this is my issue with, like, 80s hairstyles and women of that time is they all blend to be one to me. I just see hair.
All 80s women blend to you?
Wow. Well, I feel like there is something about it where, like, she is the one who picks him up in the car.
That's slick.
But I was confused at a point. I didn't know.
I agree. Also, the commercial appeared to be 6 minutes long.
Yeah.
By the way, I know I don't normally play clips this early, but why not just like take a listen to the commercial?
We gotta see it.
So as far as I'm concerned, at this point, we're watching a movie about NASA scientists.
Yes.
Which is cool. I'm like, great. Okay, what do we got here?
I remind you that one of the opening scenes is like a computer going, "Do you want to play a game?"
Yes.
He's like, "No,
and then
not
a shark
tonight."
Eats the word on his computer.
Just miscellaneous.
And he's like, "And now I go home."
Yeah, I was like, "This is a War Games esque movie."
Yes, very War Games.
At the very least, it's setting us in a world that I assume the rest of the movie will take place within. Right? You're giving me great world building for the scenes to come.
Yes. Setting a day in the life. Okay, and here we go.
You were to tell me at this point, most of the movie would be this guy's wife fucking a child in a hotel room in Orlando, I would have been like, I don't think so. I think this is a movie about scientists. You're telling me it's about a lonely teacher who fucks a child that she's teaching in class?
Jason, I have a theory on this. So this is made, you know, in the early 80s, before they had emails and stuff, and maybe someone was in a room making copies of one script that takes place about NASA. The other one was like more of like a strip club movie, and they collided.
Yes.
And then pages went, and it was like, oh, page one, oh, here's my page 12, that's your page. And
the script
really was a mashup, because if you stop the page count right here, it
page one through
partly recumbent
are this.
Bicycle, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Page 3 through 7 is just a bike ride.
Yeah.
With
there is like
a bad one.
The only way I will return to this movie is to relax during the 6 minutes that he rides his bike around Cape Canaveral.
And they play Baby You're All That I Want underneath it.
Brian Adams, shame on you.
They added that song. They like shot the movie and they were like, oh, this is going to be really, really bad. And so then they like got Brian Adams to put the song in the movie because they were like, at least we'll launch this song, I guess.
Oh, I love it. Like they would be like, people will come for the song, they'll forget.
If you play the song again at the end, they're like, remember the song? We all love the song.
You like that song. Let that seep into your head and make you think you like the movie.
When I first started watching it, I was like, oh, this is a Miami Connection level movie.
Yes.
Right? It's terrible.
Sound is bad.
But then the Brian Adams song started, and I was like, uh-oh.
Quality.
Yeah.
This means this was thought to be at the time
they tricked you.
A good movie. Brian Adams was like, yes, I'll license my song to this child teacher sex romp set.
Honestly, it's very transactional because, first of all, he is 21, but it's transactional because he's just trying to get a better grade in his speech class.
Yes,
like speaking
but
class.
Don't you think there's something else there?
No.
I don't know. He's stone cold fucking slick in the shower of her hotel room.
I was like,
what's happening?
Well, they have a sexual attraction thing, but they...
I genuinely thought, and I'm not kidding, not at all kidding, for until I saw him and Slick in the shower, I thought that was his sister.
I did too. It looked like his sister.
I agree.
80s women hair.
These people get it. You guys are heroes.
Wait, Jason, you just gave Paul shit for thinking all 80s women look alike because of the hairstyle, but then you just reinforced it.
Why?
Because it looks like his sister.
Oh, no. I thought she was literally his sister. Literally.
He felt like the exposition was not enough to delineate.
Yes, because she keeps seeing him having fucked other women.
Right.
Yeah.
So much so that I'm like, well, she can't be involved with him because she keeps catching him with other women.
She must be
his sister.
She picks him up from a woman's house
yes.
that he just had sex with. And, oh. But then his mom is also there. And then the mom
it was
gets
his
in the
house.
Yeah.
It was like, that
what?
Was his house.
Why
so
was
he was leaving. Wait, no.
He brought,
that was his
no,
house?
It was like a trailer park.
No, yeah.
No.
It was like a trailer park.
Wait a minute.
A lot of people live there.
Hang on,
He lived in a trailer right in front of him.
Okay. People on stage. People on stage.
Yes.
Who thinks that that's his house? People on stage only.
No, it's a trailer park.
Yes, okay. the trailer park.
Multiple homes.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, so he went home with a woman from the strip club.
No.
Presumably.
This woman, because Slick says... Oh, is that one of Aunt Joan's proteges?
Why is he parked in front of that woman's
house?
No. That is confusing.
This is what happens. All right, so here we go. This is him coming out of the house.
Go back a little bit further.
Okay. Wait, we got to see that girl.
Because here's the thing. All he's right. like saying goodbye to this woman who he just stone cold bone zoned, right?
By the way,
that's an album cover right there. That's the movie
Slick,
I want to see.
Slick and her Camaro. But it is interesting because don't they say that this is Uncle Don's daughter?
Yes.
Yeah.
But who's Uncle Don?
I don't know. He works
who's
at NASA in the other movie.
So wait, Uncle Don's daughter, then that means that's Uncle Don's son. So, they're not brother and sister.
They're not. They're dating.
But see, now you're getting it. Now you're getting it. Okay. So let's presume, okay? All we've seen so far in the movie is a man who works at NASA. Okay? That man watches a commercial on TV.
Should we play the commercial real
play
quick?
Play the commercial.
I'm not... Okay, Paul, before you do, I'm going to say one thing to the audience here and the audience at home. I guarantee we are only going to get into the first 15 minutes of this movie in the next 4 hours.
You are practically off your chair right now.
I'm in it. I'm in it. This movie is nuts.
It is like in the early 80s, before 1985, no one had to check scripts. It was like, it all, we trust that there's something there. All right, so
this movie's got 11 main characters. Okay, do they all interact with each other? Nope.
Nope. Separate lives.
Yeah, all right, here we go. So this is the commercial. He's walking down the hallway.
I love the security guard's like demi-tasse cup of coffee. Look how tidy it is.
Everyone in this movie drinks.
Okay, look at her touch her. She's rubbing her vagina.
You know Don Ferguson and personnel?
Mm-hmm. It is. Daughter. She licks her lips, stares down the lens.
Tony was bragging about his buddy. Maybe. Claims that's his girlfriend.
I'm waiting for you.
It's a car commercial.
It is the most aggressively sexual car commercial you've ever seen.
Where the sky meets the sea is the place you'll get me.
Well,
he's drinking a flat white in that thing.
All right, so...
So that's a commercial starring Slick.
I realize
it doesn't matter for the rest of the movie. I was like, oh, it's interesting. She's an actress. But then,
no. And not only that, but the guy, the security guard says, you know, Dawn such and such from personnel. That's his daughter. Okay.
And we're like, we know none of you people at this point.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah, save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eats all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family, we had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Would it shock you if I told you the director of this movie directed Rocky and the Karate Kid? Right?
Honestly, and, yes.
Yeah. And the budget of this movie was $6
million. What? All went to the bike.
Whoa.
It was all about, it was all doing, yeah, the bike research.
And those rockets were real. They were really launching NASA rockets.
Wow. I mean, this is a crazy thing. It's like, also it was written by Joan Tewksbury, like you said, who wrote Nashville, which is a Robert Altman movie.
Okay, that's interesting. Now that is genuinely interesting to me. Because Nashville is also a movie that has overlapping, like narrative, like a wide spread of narratives. Yeah. So I guess I get
it. Do you think
it.
This was a first draft,
you know,
for
what?
Nashville?
I have an update. I think now this movie's amazing.
Apparently, so, this movie was like pretty far, or it was like about to go into production, and then like Flashdance was a huge hit, and they were like, we gotta make it about dancing. Like,
whoa.
Kind of like, that was like, yeah, that was a thing that a coworker told me based on something he heard, he claims on the radio.
Solid.
So
what? So wait a minute. You're telling me you admit to coworkers that you watch these movies?
And then I love that a coworker's like, yes, I know about this movie that no one's ever heard of because I heard a fact on the radio about it.
He had seen it. He was like, I saw that in theaters. I was like, what?
Whoa.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, Alex Jones was talking about it on the radio. He said it didn't make any sense because space travel was a lie.
Can we go back to the girl that he fucked before he gets in Slick's car?
Yes.
Sure.
I just want to see this.
This is it. So
my thing. Yeah, because I also want to see the mom.
Well, we all want to see the mom. But I just want to see, I mean, because this is the first woman in the movie to have a line. And so.
Well, it's also the same woman who's just in the car licking her lips and touching her crotch.
No, that's Slick.
Wait, is that the same person?
Back it up a little bit. Back it up a little bit.
So the woman
that
he
I see what you're saying. The girl, the one-night stand girl.
Where she appears just as legs and shorts first. You'll see that nice panning shot.
I think if I hit play, it's going to be legs and shorts. Let's see. All right.
Let's see. Here we go. Sunglasses.
Train in the background.
Classic train. Legs and shorts.
Up. Okay.
Great. He runs out. They have a tryst.
If you're so famous and all, how come I ain't seen your picture in one of them magazines like Star, the National Enquirer?
I'm taking a faster road, know what I mean?
She's asking him. So he's told her that he's famous. He said he's a rock star. This comes up later in the movie where he's like, yeah, I'm a rock star. Really, he's a stripper in a stripping circus.
But
that is so that the nightly attendance
nightly.
Of is 1,100.
Apparently, they're Aerosmith for shitty strip clubs.
It is. I mean, they have full-on production level numbers in this thing.
Yeah. So I feel like
every stripper, every stripper makes out with every woman.
Yes. It's
there's
the most horrific
so much
kissing.
Making out that I was like,
so many cold sores.
Disgusting.
Everyone has a cold sore. No.
Everyone's just...
I was just going to say, so this
keep
woman...
in mind, it's Florida. So they all already have the same herpes.
I love an Orlando tale because I feel like this is where people live and have real life experiences.
Well, then I don't understand this woman's accent because she's in Orlando, right?
And she, I heard you.
She's like,
yeah.
I heard you told me you were famous. That's why we had sex last night. But then she's basically saying, what she says next is like, but I don't think you are famous. So she's basically like, were you misrepresenting yourself in order to have sex with me? Because that's a form of sexual assault. And I feel like this movie doesn't have the vocabulary to really tackle these issues. But for some reason, the woman screenwriter had something tugging at her fucking brain where she was like, we have to talk about this sex under false pretenses thing. But so you give me the character with the least amount of agency or point of view to have to do this fucking heavy lifting in the first 6 minutes? Like, and then never to be seen again, like dust in the wind.
Can I just I agree with everything you just said. And I also just think from a screenwriting perspective, it's overcomplicating the issue. Why couldn't she have just seen him at the strip club and say, I want to fuck that guy?
Yes.
As if that's what his whole life seems to be anyway.
There's plenty of women like that. Why do you need an extra woman who's like, you lied to me about who you are? It's like, no, there's women who you said the truth about who you are to who want to fuck you.
Just
but here's
it
what
there.
I can't figure out is, and all that being true, here he is exiting her home. Slick is there in the Corvette.
He is also barefoot.
Waiting for him to pick him up from the place he's just had sex with someone else. But if you go forward a few seconds, his mother is there.
Well, this is the trailer park element of it.
Yeah.
So I guess we're just saying everybody lives in the trailer park?
Well, I think that I would believe that what is going on
is that Slick... How does Slick know where he is?
No, this is what I think it is. Slick is coming to visit him at home.
So is he home right now?
No,
they live in the trailer park.
Who does?
Everyone.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, no, wait. Wait. I believe that, I got to look at his name, that Rick lives in the trailer park.
Okay.
Slick is coming over to his house, but she hits a stop sign, which is right there.
No, she's parked.
We are too.
No. She's
movie.
Parked. Watch. Back it up. But just play. Just hit play. Okay, pause for 1 second. So, Rick has just bone-zoned the blonde, right? He's like, I gotta go. I got a ruffled tuxedo shirt.
He's wearing the Jerry Seinfeld pirate shirt in yellow.
He gives her a weird kiss and he exits. Now, Slick
She files rape charges against him.
Slick is parked across the street. She's waiting for him. Right?
She's waiting to pick him
up. I believe
She's picking him up.
She's picking
him
up. To take him to school.
But is
she his girlfriend?
No. They have a very strange relationship that makes no sense.
Because she's got a boyfriend, right?
Oh, what? What?
I think later, he's the boyfriend.
No, later in the car, doesn't she say, I'm moving with that boyfriend? Like when they have that scene in the...
That's a sister.
Oh, that's a
That's his actual sister.
I'm not kidding. I am here to say we will not get past the first 15 minutes of this movie. Here's the update. I'm not even kidding. The next 3 episodes of this podcast are going to be this one movie.
All right.
So now we can play. Now we can play.
So I still believe that Slick... is going to Rick's house. Rick and his mom live in the trailer park.
Rhyme?
This is what I think. I think Rick took the blonde to his house, and Slick is out front being like, I'm here to take you to school, asshole. And he's like, oh, I just blasted this lady.
But why wouldn't Slick pull up in front of the house?
She kind of is.
It's a little far away. All right, let's see. Let's see what happens here.
Okay, he's like, okay, I'll see you later.
Honest is all I know.
Okay.
By the way, she's fully dressed. He hasn't gotten shoes and his shirt on, so I don't even know what happened.
The no shoes thing has plagued me this whole movie. He's barefoot for far too long into this scene and the next. Then in the dance scene where everyone's in a dance class, they're all wearing dance shoes, they're still barefoot people. This goes to black people all the time are like, white people love to be barefoot. It's a thing that we think, it's a stereotype, and I'm sorry, but this movie is perpetuating
it. Here's the thing.
So you have them to blame.
Here's the thing, and I'm going to back you up 100% because I believe firmly feet are gross.
They're bad.
100%.
Cover them up,
Cover
everybody.
Them up.
They're bad.
Nobody wants to see your
Sandals
grubby, gross feet.
Sandals walking around the city, ugh.
Also,
disgusting.
Also, Slick, the first time she speaks, she has 6 questions she asks in a row. 6 questions. It's like they wrote her dialogue from a Trivial Pursuit game.
And she is also driving a brand new car. There's so much going on here.
And if you think they're going to get into it, they're not. Because guess who's about to arrive in this scene?
All right.
Rick's mom.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Also, Slick and Rick?
That's what I said. Why make it rhyme?
I need to get into this mom character.
You don't have to drive a Tesla.
Sexually?
Not that those dots.
Yes.
Why don't you just give me a break with the car routine?
Steal it?
Sixth question.
I thought of you, fuckwad, and I came over here because I thought I'd give you a ride. But since you seem to be otherwise engaged...
Can I drive it?
I don't know. Can you?
Morning, Slick!
Hi, Mrs. Johnson.
Rick, honey.
Is different
she
house.
Not exiting the same house?
Different trailer.
Different house. This is like their house is closer. She's running.
What? What are you talking? Okay, so
watch.
Wait.
She's gonna walk by it.
Pause.
Look at all the bottles.
Wait. She's walking by it.
Pay that phone bill.
It's the same house.
Mom, I gotta work my.
Is it?
It's two modular homes.
It's not the same house. Okay.
Look at the ground.
So here's the thing, you asshole.
Here's the thing.
Even if it's not the same house. So you're telling me the blonde that he fucked last night lives so close to his house that the mom could have exited a house next to... Shoot, so the blonde lives next to Rick and is like, wait, I don't know. You're famous. How come I've never... It's the same... So she fucked the neighbor? What?
He couldn't get any shoes? Look at the puddles on the ground.
So I guess...
I also firmly believe in rewatching this scene on silent while you guys are talking, that they moved to a different location because he's not walking by any of this stuff. When he exits the scene, he's not walking by this giant sign or this flagpole. Because if you look here...
You guys, okay. An hour into this movie, there's a kid businessman that has one line and leaves. And we're spending time on this?
All right. By the way, I'm not kidding.
So right.
I could talk about the kid businessman for an hour.
Yes.
I just want to hear. This is my pitch right here.
This is the best movie ever.
This is... All right. So here's my pitch. Everyone look at this frame, okay? This is...
Okay.
All right, so here's... Okay. Here are the... Right,
there so, she look. Is. Okay.
Right? Just that. There's the truck. There's no giant sign. There's a stop sign. Okay?
This is the woman.
That's the woman.
That's the woman.
Okay. Look at that.
And then
freeze
look at
that
the other
head.
Porch.
All right. There's a porch. Stop sign. No. Okay, now watch. Okay, then here's the mom.
Now,
the closer porch the mom comes out of.
That's a totally different location.
No, it's not.
What? No, that's
it's
the
not.
Same.
The truck is further away.
It's just an angle.
I know it's the same truck, but I think it's in a
so
different
wait,
location.
Where does the mom come out?
She comes out of the
right
front
there.
House. The front
right
house.
That's different.
It's different.
Back up.
Oh, there she is. No, but there's the girl.
That's what I'm saying. The
it's
girl
different
is right
houses.
There.
No, she's coming.
Different
she's
houses.
Coming out of this house.
No, look.
Okay, so what you're saying
because, look,
is...
she has a hot water heater right here.
So he
that's
fuck.
A separate house, and then there's a front door here.
So Rick is fucking the woman who lives behind his house. And
yes.
She's saying, if you're so famous, how come you're not in any of the magazines? You know he's not famous. He fucking lives 17
you can look,
feet away
literally
from
look out your window and see into his bedroom.
That, you guys, if I'm not... you. Those two people have grown up together.
No, she's one of the new Texas nieces who I think is
Texas
coming
niece.
In. She's one of the Texas nieces... that is living in their next door house. So basically, they bring in a bunch of Texans, and he fucks them all. So Slick is like, have you fucked another one of those Texans? Like, eh, it was a one-night thing. Calm down, Slick.
This movie is airtight, and we're just dumb for not getting it.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cap'n Crunch. Who said the kids get to have all the breakfast fun time? Break away from the ordinary with Cap'n Crunch and bring back the spirit of adventure to your mornings. Everyday life can be stressful, but a tasty bowl of Cap'n Crunch is an escape from morning monotony. Enjoy the bold flavors like original Cap'n Crunch, Crunch Berries, Oops All Berries, and Peanut Butter. Plus, the crunch you love is now available in cinnamon, and it is delicious, even in a sea of milk. The crunch of Cap'n Crunch is epic. Yes. My family is all in on the cinnamon Cap'n Crunch. I didn't think you could make it better, but they did. I love my Cap'n Crunch, and now I love sharing it with my kids. Join the crew for your next breakfast time crunch venture. Get Cap'n Crunch's new Cinnamon Crunch now at a retailer near you and learn more at Cap'nCrunch.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I love Quince. Why do I love Quince? Well, maybe you should ask my 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater that I got for $50. Or maybe you want to talk to my washable silk top or some of my 14 karat jewelry. Well, you're wasting your time because they can't talk, but I can talk for them and say that Quince is the best because all their items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. How do they do it? Well, they partner with the top factories. They cut out the middleman, okay? And they pass the savings on to you. I love this wool Quince hat I have, but I also love my Quince quarter zip Mongolian cashmere sweater. It is truly one of my wife's favorite outfits. And when your wife likes one of your outfits, you know that you've done right. Anyway, indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/bonkers for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/bonkers to get free shipping and 365-day returns. That's right, quince.com/bonkers.
Can I ask you guys a question? I thought that when we introduce this guy who works at NASA, doing the hard work, he's working the night shift, he comes home, he says to his wife, hey, can we like play hooky? Like, let's have a date night. And then that like sets off a chain of events that he seems to be the bad guy, like the magic is gone, but yet the first thing that we've seen from him is like, hey, let's have some magic,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was confusing.
Yeah, it's poorly written.
No, like, he's, they like, make him like, he's into her. He's like, he's comes into home, her. He's just been fired, right?
No, well,
oh,
later.
No, not yet. Not, not yet. Yet.
He quits because he's got murder on his mind.
Well, I think it's because his happiness is only ever tied to his job and his dumb, partly lay-down bike.
No, but the weird thing about the bike is that when he like forces NASA to fire him, he's like, I got to get a new job. And multiple people are like, I would love to buy that bike you're making. He's like, nah.
Why doesn't he want to get rid of that bike?
Why don't
even
you
at one point, he
bike?
Says, why does everyone keep bringing up that bike?
Yeah. You like, invented a bike.
I don't know, doofus. It's the only cool thing you've done besides smirk this whole movie.
He goes.
He just smirks. Look at this thing. It's not even recumbent.
It looks like the thing that was on the Batman TV series with Adam West, where it's like the Bat Cycle. It's too much glass in the front of it.
I also believe that when he's leaving NASA in the beginning, he passes by that guy that's doing very terrible dancing while cleaning the floors.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's one of the dancers.
Yeah. But that guy says, he tells that guy that he can get his bike up to 55 miles per hour.
And that's what we're about to see here while Baby You're All That I Want plays.
So, yeah, I think that's, we're meant to believe here that he's able to achieve speeds that are like crazy.
Yeah.
Look like, at that speed.
Like,
the recumbent bike is very slow. And
this is like, a recumbent bike is emasculating.
By the way, putting showing speed on a recumbent bike, you should put it against other things that move, not a stationary object, because it's harder to judge, like, how quick is he going? It looked like I could pedal that fast.
Just the Florida swamp.
In the 6 minutes that he's riding a bike through town, he passes not a single soul. It's like a completely dead, weird ghost town. He passes two people that are raising a flag. But
it's a very patriotic town. I mean, this bike, it's not really a recumbent bike.
What is that windshield protecting? Is it keeping bugs off his abdomen?
His chest. And it really is like a big wheel in the back. It's like a penny farthing.
And by the way, I will say, it's not only that there are no people, there are no cars on the road.
There's nothing.
It's as if it's a zombie movie or something like that.
And keep in mind, this movie is not about him.
Baby, you're all
I found
that
this movie, like, so boring that I kept looking for other movies in the movie that I'd be more interested in. One of them was what happened to lead to this town being deserted. The other was Kid Businessman.
Kid Businessman.
Businessman is gold.
He's the best. He's a super old lawyer. It's very strange. But
should we watch Kid Businessman? Should
yeah.
we see a scene? Right.
We also got to see full peen.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah, we got to get our eyeballs on that dick.
I
want
shouted.
A lot to say in that sex scene.
Okay, so he leaves NASA and he's trying to get a new job.
Why does he leave NASA? Because he's working too late and he can't.
No, the defense contract.
Using rockets to,
right.
make war. Yeah. So he's like, I don't want to make war. I'm going to go work for this other rocket factory that definitely doesn't contribute to war. Remember all those rocket competitors with NASA that were like, we're only rockets for peace?
So, all right, here he goes. And now he is. Now he winds up in a video game factory.
Frankly, if you are over 18, you are...
Got all his rolls of paper.
Great sound design.
You have a prototype, that weird machine you were building, you know, that the recumbent, that the bike.
It's funny, you're the third person to mention it.
Oh, hi, Miss Osgood. Sorry we're a little early, but this is the only time I could get my lawyer here to go over the contracts. Oh, Mr. Osgood, this is Mr. Slack. This is Mr. Osgood. Slack, this is Mr. Nice Osgood.
Thank you. Mr. Lee, just step inside, please. Mr. Slack is... nice to see you, seeing you around, huh? Good luck.
And that's it.
We never see him
Wait,
again.
Look. The next thing that happens, though, just roll it real quick.
Have the girl validate your parking ticket on the way out, right?
Have a good day, Osgood.
Have the girl validate your parking ticket. This fully shattered me because I was like, fucking 1983, we still validate parking tickets the exact same way? Back then, people were using payphones. Now our phones can launch a plane, and we still have the same parking ticket technology?
Tony, there's an 11-year-old in a
three-piece
suit.
I don't care. No.
This
fact that
is not about parking validation.
When I go to Italy, and I have to have someone stamp this shit so I can get out of a stretcher,
a three-piece
is
suit
bullshit.
Who is a businessman?
We should have advanced beyond it. There's solar power now.
In the next scene, they literally go out of their way to say that that kid is 14. And it's like, he's not. He's not.
By the way, I do believe that she doesn't have a stamp or a sticker. I think she probably has a log where she writes down people's tickets in ballet.
I'd be interested in that movie.
Yeah, I would like to see that.
Guess what? You know who else has a log in this movie? Rick.
Rick.
Let's see
that log.
When do we see his dick?
It's in that horrible
What do you
crotch.
Mean, when did we? Oh, Sex. Don't act like you didn't see his dick. We all saw the dickhead. Wait, he's from Blue Lagoon, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Which we also see his dick, right?
Oh.
This guy loves to show his dick.
In the IMDb trivia.
Literally, this is when the substitute nanny walked in on me, the dick scene. I swear to God.
By the way, my right favorite character in this movie, the sister.
I hated how he lectured her, though. He's like, you gotta get your life together. I'm like, dude, you're trying to fuck your way into not flunking your speech class. Bitch, speech class is just talking. How dumb do you have to be?
Was his speech that bad?
Well, she said, I wrote down what she said. It was like, her feedback was, you say what you say well, but you say nothing. It was like, well, that seems like what
a
speech
class
should be.
But that's speech class,
right? Yeah. That was speak well.
That was a page from a dumb. That was a page from a samurai movie that got shuffled in there.
All right, so this is, I guess this is the scene where we see Dick Tip, right?
Some nice pants coming off moment.
Real time.
Everything in this movie is real time. The parking validation, hanging up a payphone. It was as if they were like, let's just see how much. Again, the movie is 80 minutes. They're like, let's just kill some time here. Can you fumble for your keys? Can you find the exact right change in your pocket to buy the gumball?
Let's watch him take his pants off one leg at a time.
I hate sex scenes in movies that look like they're real life sex scenes.
Look at this frame. This frame is garbage. This is in a movie. Shame on you.
Here we go.
Pause. What? What was that?
They're just staring. That? They're staring at each other. She's...
No music. Nothing. Just not even particularly passionately looking
this
at each other.
This sex scene is so upsetting because it has no music. It has nothing.
No music.
You the feel movie, alone.
The movie has been, like, aggressive with music.
Yes.
And also sound design. All the bugs and the birds and the everything. It's so loud. In this scene, it's like...
Well, I don't want to make us go backwards away from the
sure, but
full piece,
please.
But when she unzips his pants in this movie, it's so loud.
So loud.
Oh, yeah.
It's a loud zipper.
We
got to
hear it. I mean,
isn't that is that in this one or the other
yeah,
one?
No, it's, I think it's, it is it's in this one. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look, they are crotch to crotch. I've never seen...
This is next level.
I've never seen a shot in a movie of crotch to crotch. Like,
this movie is haunting.
Just dead eyes.
Dead eyes.
Dead eyes.
Face to face.
No kissing.
No kissing. No passion.
No breathing.
Then a slow pan down.
Just rustling shitty fabrics.
Let's hear that zipper. Oh.
You hear the sweater hit the bad carpet.
The thud of the sweater.
He puts his hand on.
Also, she doesn't want to.
She doesn't want to.
This is the second time they've done this in this movie.
Ugh.
Ew.
Oh, I hate this so much.
Like rubbing his dick.
Can you pause?
Zipper.
Yep.
Can I ask a real question? A real question. What is... Are they in a hotel adjacent to Niagara Falls?
No.
What's the sound?
No, but they are in a hotel that she had just checked out of that morning. So
right.
Can they re-buy the hotel at 10 a.m.?
I'm not kidding. I don't care about the rest of this movie. Minutes 1 through 20 are all we're covering today.
Wait, but hold
this
on
is
one second.
Crazy.
But her sister is in town to visit her, so she's like, I'm going to stay at the hotel with her. She's not going to stay at our house.
Right.
That's an odd choice, too.
Yeah. And then the sister immediately has to fly home because her kid is sick. And her
after her sister is stone cold bone zoned some other guy.
Yeah.
And right, and she
like,
goes, just tell your husband you fuck somebody. He'll understand.
Right.
That was...
I thought her advice also was like, wear the perfume you wore last night. He'll like it. And then she calls back later and is like, will you tell her that he did?
all right. So here is a hand into the pants.
I'll say what I said when this happened in my house as the penis came out of the pants. Shocked. It scared my cat. I shouted so loud. I said the words. Oh, are we going to see it? Oh, just hear it squishing around. Gross. I said, whoa, that's legit junk.
I don't think that I realized that was dick. I thought that was just hands. Because I thought there's so much hands action going on
there's
in that crotch
hands.
Area.
I see what you mean, but it's definitely dick.
I mean, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. I don't need to see it.
Can we go back to one of the stripper scenes? Because there's so much activity. Oh, do you want to watch this?
Well, no, we don't.
Sex scene?
I mean, we are playing so many visual clips, and for the people at home, I apologize.
Oh, yeah.
But this scene, it is so uncomfortable.
This is so crazy.
And it looks like a police siren's going on outside. I saw like a little flash in the window. Ugh. Okay, enough.
No,
I can't.
It's too bad.
I can't. Enough is enough on
it's
that sex
I mean,
scene.
Listen, guys, wow.
That was legitimately the second most disturbing thing to me in the movie. The first most was when the Tarzan stripper had his like dick in that woman's face, and his butt is full frame, and you watch him peel his own thong out of his butt crack.
Yep.
It's horrible.
Yep.
Ugh.
He peels it out of there. Is that when she faints?
Wearing it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she faints, and there's a person with a camera like. Gotta
meanwhile,
get
she fainted. Do you think it's because of seeing the dick? But she fainted from the humidity.
Yes. So swampy.
I love that strip club, and I especially love the Mad Hatter announcer who said
never
things like
stops talking.
He would nonstop like, they'll steam the crease out of your polyester. Hot, hot, hot cross buns is the thing that
like
he said.
10 jokes.
Yeah,
I believe he actually said buns, 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 hot cross buns. Ha ha.
He goes, He's got a big dipper, mama. He's like,
oh, that was the astronaut.
And then he says, he's got a big penis. He says it both. Just also, in case that wasn't clear, I meant it.
That guy is ruining it for everybody.
He makes it bad. There also the sound in the strip club, the women squealing audio bed that the brilliant sound designer has created. It's such a din. I mean, I'm a woman. I've hung out with other women.
You are a woman.
Thank you for noticing.
And we've hung out.
And we've hung out. We're best friends. I've never heard this frequency reached ever, because the squealing range, it is blood curdling.
It was, and I don't know if any of us can speak to this. Maybe the audience can. Like, I remember seeing Mr. Mom, and Mr. Sure. Mom, there was like a strip club scene, and it was like an astronaut stripper in that too. Like, was that like a thing? Like, were strip clubs in the 80s just going like, we gotta like theme the fuck out of this. We need to have a 9-to-5 number. We need to like, we just like, I right. thought like, you know, it feels like there was
women
a
won't get it unless there's a costume.
I did read, after I watched this movie, I sat quietly for a long time being like, why, what? And then I was like, I need to research this. So I found a Roger Ebert review of it when it came out. And he was like, it explores that new phenomenon of like strip clubs and malls that women are enjoying. And like, we've all read the Psychology Today articles about it. And I was like, what?
Oh,
and
then my God.
So I guess it was a thing for a second.
And he was like, thumbs up.
In malls.
In malls.
That's the weird part.
Next to an Orange Julius and a Skechers.
Chippendales, Spencer Gifts.
Oh, God.
Here we go. This is your favorite scene, Jen, right here. The
She's dead.
Well, no. This is, to me, the best scene in the whole movie. You just see this stripper peel his thong out of his asshole. He reveals his dick off camera to this woman. She passes out because she is not expecting it. And we're like, this is a fun scene. Boom.
Boom.
Cut to gun. Cut to gun on a newspaper. And at that point, it's the first time we're seeing gun.
But not the last.
And not the last. And then we cut to the NASA scientist loading up this gun. And we go, what the fuck is happening now?
And keep in mind, this is like minute 40? I don't even know.
It's 48, yeah.
Man, oh man.
This is nonsense.
Nonsense.
I was so bored at this moment that when they put the gun on the newspaper, I paused it to read what the newspaper said. So I was like, maybe that's interesting.
And your
the
desktop?
Headline was, the headline was Grandmother Works Miracle to Save Boy from Fire. I was like, I'd be interested in this movie as well.
Another great spinoff movie. This movie, I mean, most movies hide the fact that they're in Orlando. This movie really embraces it, especially in the scene where they go to the dance class and everyone's wearing a Walt Disney World shirt.
But also...
And more barefoot people.
But also, will you please play up until the point when Leslie Ann Warren sees her sister and they have like an awkward kiss.
All right.
Yes.
All right, so I think it's coming up here. Okay.
Here's where the squealing starts, by the way.
You know, the sexy eyes.
Ricky the Rock.
Oh, she's gonna bring her sister tonight.
Hi. Hey.
Watch this.
What?
But again, can we just...
They are sisters. They grew up together.
They air kiss, but it looks like they were... it's and they're on the cheek... Now, what was the idea? Was like the idea was I'm coming into
disco. What does it say?
That's a good
disco
movie.
Disco Housewives.
Yes, it says welcome some sort of Baptist,
Nashville Baptist,
and Disco Housewives, and it goes a shark free pool joke, but I guess the idea is her sister came to town and was like, well, I'm at the hotel. I'll take a dance class. I don't even get why there's a dance class going on here.
And why is it taught by strippers?
And why are they all crowded into one corner of the room?
And why is someone barefoot? Put on shoes. So many Walt Disney t-shirts.
They're all clustered so tight together,
too. It's so strange.
This must have been before Disney started being like, you can't wear Mickey Mouse in a fucking movie where you see a guy's dick tip.
Do you have right after this where it cuts to the next scene with them, the sisters, like having a girls' night?
I have the whole movie, so... I can easily get that. Hold on.
Because the cut to is just something I didn't expect. Kind of like a gun on a newspaper. It goes from a dance class with men. First of all, like, I want to go back to an era where straight men wore crop tops because I think that's fucking beautiful. That part of the 80s fashion I could really handle.
All right, here you go.
Yeah. Awkward kiss.
Hi. Disney.
Bye. We're going to go have a sisters ladies night together.
Most of the women in this world must be lonely.
Good thing we'll be dancing with each other.
And then nothing says ladies night like some sweaty pieces of shrimp and water in a wine glass. Tell me that wasn't water. Look at the wine glasses again.
And then she puts her in this prom dressy thing to go out to a strip club. Like, I don't know if this is like...
Hide and seek.
Squealing.
You pulled his pants down. I saw my first wiener storming at attention.
Did you catch one word?
What?
I mean, the sound quality in this movie is exceptionally bad, and that's still hard to hear.
Okay.
Ready?
One, two, three.
Squealing.
She looks at herself in this big red dress.
An old school mom.
The music suggests she turns herself on.
You look like
she's like,
but what? Also, it also feels like they're rearranging a dress on her body, and they're like, check yourself out. But you could be like, oh yeah, I'm wearing this dress. Like,
it's not
like she was doing her makeup and like surprise. And she is, the makeup is done, but the beginning is fixing a dress. It's like, yeah, well, I know what
this.
I look like. Yeah,
I will say this: she looks great. Like,
yes.
The transformation from school marm kind of uptight...
sexless like, pilgrim.
to this is great. And I'm like, okay, cool. I get... At least, at the very least, I'm like, okay, I get... Now I can hold on to something.
From this.
This is a movie wherein... Yes.
From the Melania bow tie.
Yeah.
This is a movie wherein we're going to see this uptight... A woman in a sexless marriage have a whatever.
I have an issue with this sexless marriage. Her husband's like, let's fuck. And she's like, no, you can't say you're in a sexless marriage.
But then, in her defense, after the strip club night, when she's like, he's home, he just got fired, she doesn't know that. She's like, let's fuck. And he's like, no, we should get some sleep. And she's like, but. And he's like, no, let's go to sleep. It's time to go to sleep. I'm like... Nigga, you don't have a job. Why are you trying to get some sleep?
But
you don't have to get
because
up.
Because he knows that she cheated on him in that one
line.
No, not yet.
There was no cheating yet. It was just him being tired.
Before.
But that was like he knew that she went to the strip club and he does not like that.
Yeah. He knew she went to the strip club?
Yeah.
How?
He looks at him because he's like, oh, you're a dancer. He's like, I bet you're good.
I think this is before that, though.
This is before.
He says, though, you smell like cigarettes or something.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
So he just doesn't like cigarettes.
Oh.
In fairness this is, to him.
But he's got to go to bed for his no job in the morning.
He was already asleep. She tried to wake him up.
I'm sorry. Okay. What man have you tried to wake up who has turned you down, though? That doesn't happen.
Hey.
But let me be clear. If a woman tries to wake me up for sex, I'm like, what are you doing in my house? No.
And then you assume it's probably one of those Texas nieces.
I immediately call the police.
You still don't turn her down, though, because you know you got 90 seconds before the police get there.
I will still do it, of course. She's done the work to get inside.
Yeah.
The alarm has not been tripped, so she's smart.
She's agile.
She probably has accomplices.
Just because she's done work to get into your house does not mean you owe her anything.
Here is the...
Oh, God.
Guys, oh, by the way... Oh, okay, well, here. He looks upset. He looks like a person who's been hit in the head and has amnesia. He's like, play cool, play cool. I don't know who the fuck this is. My mother, my sister. Here he goes.
What time is it?
Little after 12.
The sound.
Gross.
No, okay. Let's get some sleep.
Let's get some sleep. For fucking what?
You know what, though? By the way, at this point, they're even. He wanted her to play hooky to have sex, and she turned him down. She wants to come home and have sex, he turns her down. Okay, we're at zero here.
But she didn't have... No, that's not fair. She didn't have time. She was on her way to work. It was the middle of the day. She didn't know he was coming home.
That's fine.
This is nighttime. This is sex time.
He's already asleep. He's already asleep.
All I'm saying is you don't get to be a 14-year-old billionaire by fucking people in your sleep, okay? You gotta sleep when you sleep and you fuck when you fuck. That's how you make the big names in the arcade
game.
By
the way, I would love if this movie cut to a scene where this woman is fucking that 14-year-old.
Sequel, baby. Sequel.
That's a movie I can get behind.
The one thing I thought about the strip club that was so crazy, too, is there's a scene when she's leaving, and there's a bunch of dudes hanging outside
yes.
of the strip club.
Oh.
They're catcalling all the women. I'm like... Ooh, is this like a thing like they hang out there like to troll women?
Well, did you see the sign?
They leave all horny.
Yeah.
There's a sign on the first ladies' night scene that said, like, at the panning as they walk in, it says, like, ladies' night. And it says, ladies only, 7 p.m.
Right.
Then in all caps, the creepiest fucking thing I've ever seen, it says, men in at 10 p.m. Like, they just storm the gates at 10 p.m. after these women are horny looking at 21-year-old fake astronauts wrapped in tinfoil with their junk waving around.
And then these guys are going to basically just draft off the goodwill
yes.
that these other guys are setting up.
These regular towny trash bros are going to come in and just clean up. Oh.
And in the meantime, just waiting outside. 9:45, let's do this, let's go. Hey there, lady, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hot cross buns, hot cross buns. I wanted to talk about the mom, if we could, and the relationship that that Rick has with her, which is very upsetting to me.
If this movie had cut to a scene where Rick and his mom are having sex, I would not have been surprised.
His mom works at a pirate-themed restaurant.
A coffee shop inside the hotel where he fucks the woman.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did not realize it's all... Like, I needed a map to see. I thought they were in different spots.
It's all in the same location.
This motel looks like a motel... Okay, well, here we go.
You look good. Ready for that.
Morning, ladies.
Also, check out his outfit.
Hey, gorgeous.
He looks like the bad guy from Karate Kid at this point, a little bit.
He's wearing McDonald's.
Well, what a surprise. What are you doing here?
I'm helping people with dance class today.
Oh, not another job. Rick, please. All that sugar's just going to rot your bones.
It's just for today. Tony,
can you pause, please? Sugar does not rot your bones.
That's one of the main things that the doctor says. It's going to rot your bones. Gonna get
sugar,
into your
maybe rot your teeth. Maybe. Perhaps teeth are bone, but sugar, all that sugar is not going to rot your femur.
Neither did your sister. So it's just
pause,
me and the...
Pause. He does have a sister.
Yeah, that's the one he
we
lectures.
We know that.
Who's that?
He lectures
the girl
her
in the car.
The car.
That I got confused by.
In the car, she's like, I'm moving. Can you water my plants? And he's
he
tells her.
Yes,
that pisses,
yes, yes,
he's
yes.
like, you got to get your life together. You got to think about settling
I really
down.
I thought that was
You're
100%
right.
He's
sorry,
a fucking
sorry.
stripper who flunked a speech class lecturing.
I think, though, at this point, I thought that Slick was that sister in the
That's what
matter.
I thought, too. All right, here we go. So mom and Rick relationship.
A little present for your piggy bank.
gives her the money.
I want some juice.
Can I have the business section?
Drink some juice.
Why does he want the business section?
He's an entrepreneur.
He's not been shown to have any business acumen.
We gotta get to the end. I'm sorry. I know we're out of time, but the end is so fucked.
Oh, we haven't even
gotten
to the audience yet. Yeah.
Wait, there's like the hours
end of the
left.
Though. Wait, but the end turns dark and frightening.
Well,
and
so basically if you were to really dissect the movie, and I was trying to describe it to someone today, and I was getting lost in describing it to them, if you track the movie, woman falls in love with this unrequited love, right? Has this. Husband finds out about it. Husband goes, I'm going to kill him. A story, B story. And we're tracking that through the movie. If that we're just bare bonesing it, that's what's going on. So then it culminates at the end where the husband is in kind of camo gear, hiding out in the hotel where he knows that the boy will be, has a loaded weapon, and then we get to the skiff, right? I mean, or...
where he takes the boy to a boat, makes him strip naked, and points a gun at him screaming, get in the skiff, get it. He says it 6 times, I counted. I don't know what the fuck a skiff is. If I was naked and had a gun pointed at my face and someone was screaming, get to the skiff, and I would just be killed. I would never know what it is.
There's something about A, the lighting, that I didn't even know there was a skiff there, and B, no. That the movie has taken this turn. At any point, I fully believe, like, well, he'll kill him, right? He's going to kill him. Like, this movie will end with a murder.
I genuinely hoped that's what was going to happen.
I thought something would happen.
I mean, all right, so this scene, here we go.
We see Peen again.
Gun comes out, pointed like a USA or Lifetime, like silk stockings.
Get in the skiff.
Oh, God, no.
Get in the skiff.
Please, no.
Get up. Get in the skiff.
You would argue this movie is tonally very different at this point, right? This is like,
departure.
It almost feels like the music is different, the lighting is different, and I'm like, oh fuck, what is going to happen?
I thought he shot his dick.
Me too.
100%. The boy falls down dead. He's not. Spoiler alert.
Hey, kid. I'm just pissed off. I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
What? What?
What?
But you still fucking kidnapped and stripped somebody.
Stripped him naked, shot a boat so that he would sink.
That's cool.
You're crazy. You are crazy.
And he says it like, not like it seems like I'm in on this joke. Like, it, like the way, like, it, like he.
I'm just pissed off. You think you're
not
the
crazy.
First stripper I've dragged out into the middle of the bay, stripped naked, and almost drowned?
He also throws like a bag of something into the boat.
Yeah, but it's not his clothes, because right after he's begging for his life and weeping, the guy drives away and he's like, hey, what about my clothes?
And he goes, I thought you worked better without them. And then the post credits. It's a real dark episode of Family Matters. They go home and the end. All right, well, let's go to the audience and see if you guys have any questions on the first 4 minutes only.
There's so much.
All right.
There's so much.
There's so much.
I have
300
notes I didn't even get to.
I know. I've barely read anything on that page.
All right. Patsy's married? !
I'm not even going to ask you. Just give me your question. What do you got?
Sure. It's actually more of a comment. The music wasn't licensed for the film. It was written specifically for the film. So all the songs. Michael DeBar wrote Obsession for this. Bryan Adams wrote Heaven and that other big soppy number for this film.
Really?
Wow.
And the other music is Jan Hammer.
Wow,
Jan
that's
Hammer
insane.
Jan Hammer does all the other stuff.
Well,
all
sir, that gets you.
All right.
Two bottles. This is, you can share this with a loved one. Two bottles of Monster Energy. Oh, yeah, one other fact. Okay.
You're not getting more shit, though.
Christopher Atkins was up for Footloose and this. He blew the audition for Footloose because he came in really coked up. So he ended up with the booby prize. And also, he claims that he did not know that his dick was going to be shown. He said that Avildsen told him, no, kid, don't worry about it. No, that's fine, it's fine.
I read a trivia thing. There's an IMDb trivia thing that's like, the reason his dick is shown is because he forgot to wear underwear that day. I was like, surely they could have found him some underwear.
So there's two instances of sexual trespassing in this film.
But
one,
you know,
was
what?
Scripted.
That's crazy. Well, great facts. You earn those Monster Energy drinks. All right. Your name, your question.
Gregory, I was wondering who you think they thought the target audience for this film was.
That's a great question. What is the target audience for A Night in Heaven? NASA people? Recumbent bike people?
Well,
gun enthusiasts?
Kid businessmen?
I genuinely, when I was watching it, I was like, what was this? Like, why did they make it? Who was it for? Like, I was like, is this like, because I did genuinely think to myself, who's this movie about?
Security guards who like fine cups of espresso.
Yeah.
Well, like, I will say,
marriages that are in trouble.
Well, but here's the thing, like, Tani, you blew my mind when you told me a woman wrote this, because in my mind, it reeked of a guy who was married, who worked too much. He's like, I gotta write this script because, yeah, I love my wife, and you know what? She's probably fucking some other dude, but it's because I have shit I've got going on. I felt like someone was working out some major issues. It's like, and yeah, I wouldn't kill the guy, but I would fucking teach him a lesson. And then I'd get her back and we'd fuck again. And like, it feels like a big giant apology or something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not. Sir, your name, your question.
Cameron, and if put to the test, could you taste the difference between dried champagne on paper or dried children's tears
on
paper?
Okay, this is what I wanted to talk about.
Oh my God, I forgot all about that.
That scene was so crazy.
Beautiful question.
Were they talking about a dead child?
No, just a dead marriage.
But why were they in a child's bedroom with a child's drawing being
truly
like, remember how much you cried that night? Like,
because they went from let's get a cup of coffee to let's maybe fuck on this child's bed.
Yeah, it was extremely weird.
That whole sequence.
Who hasn't been there, though, you know?
Yeah. Who hasn't gone to the dry cleaner to pick up an item that no one has talked about before? And
it's
then
closed
run into
on a Tuesday.
You've never seen before.
Maybe this is the Orlando equivalent of Nashville. Like, if you're from Florida, you're like, got it. I get this movie.
But 100, I will
like,
say,
all of the, it's almost like, yeah, they've figured it out.
I will say that a lot of our questions can be answered simply with, it's Florida. Like, oh, it seems like he has an inappropriate sexual relationship with his mother. It's Florida.
He kidnaps someone just to be like, stop it. Florida.
It's Florida. The husband takes a gun, strips the boy down on a boat, and takes off. It's Florida.
Sir, your name, your question.
Spencer. Does NASA make rockets for war?
Yes. Yes, Spencer, yes.
I just love the simplicity of that question.
Yeah.
It's so perfect. I don't know. I'm dumb. I don't know.
Can anyone definitively answer that? I say no. Can you answer that? Can anyone answer that?
Anybody okay here from NASA JPL?
Space Force will.
But like, NASA doesn't make rockets, right? It'd be like Boeing or somebody.
Yeah, I feel like that's about right. All right, but it was the 80s, different time.
His presentation is, I thought he was in high school. It's terrible.
No.
Rick?
Rick, I wrote that.
Presentation
I thought it was a
about
good
the musician or whatever, the composer?
I like said I thought it was a pretty good speech.
I was like, this is garbage.
Wait a second, let's take a look.
Wait.
Let's go.
And then we got to see... We got to see, like, the only black person in the movie who plays the role of guy who doesn't get jokes.
Yeah.
He really takes a slow turn there. All right.
Hey, you got my shoes!
Okay.
Ooh,
that's a bookend to, hey, you got my shoes.
Many of the objects
about my
found
clothes?
Have led archaeologists to believe that each tribe had a tribal composer. This composer, by chanting...
Can you pause for a second? Why is the teacher sitting in the middle of the class?
She's in his seat watching him.
Oh, okay, okay.
And by the way, it just says like a wall of great speeches, and it's Churchill, FDR, and Martin Luther King Jr. are the three. I never knew that FDR was a great speecher.
The three tenets of a good speech are time, place, event.
This could be an improv class.
You gotta remember TPE.
Time, place, event.
All right, so here we go. Here we go. This is, we're going to hear the car horn honk again.
He has a phone bill that's on the counter next to the coffee maker!
No words. No idea.
Hey, you got my shoes!
Here we go.
Many of the objects found have led archaeologists to believe that each tribe had a tribal composer. This composer, by chanting, would assure that the departing soul would reach a spiritual nirvana. A number of archaeologists, though, did not believe such a tribal composer existed until one of the greatest and most important discoveries was made by Dr. R.F. Goodrich when he unearthed the casket. When the casket was opened, it was confirmed that this was the tribal composer. A true story from Central Florida. Thank you.
Good presentation.
Kind of.
Right? I mean, yes.
What?
But
no.
Then, well, we don't know what he was talking about.
Hold on. Yeah, can we get house lights for a second? Are there any teachers in the audience?
All right, great.
Guys?
So are you a speech teacher? Right, here. Can you come over to here? Okay, come over here. Let's hear your expertise. Because we're going to hear the...
Oh, no. They also have wine glasses.
Jason, they have wine styrofoams.
All right.
This is a good speech.
Yeah. Maybe not a content-filled speech, but a well-delivered speech nonetheless.
That's what I thought, yeah.
But isn't that what she says? She's like, you deliver it well, but you're saying nothing? No, is her critique valid?
No, it's not valid at all. Like, the whole point of the speech is to deliver points and to say something about
the topic. Can I ask you guys an honest question, though? Do you just want to fuck Rick?
Of course.
But no, but I mean, a public speaking class is not about the information, it's about how you give the information.
You're right, right. You can pretend to give anything. The point is about the delivery and the organization and the structure.
She wants to fuck Rick, and that's why she fails.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, hold on, you two.
So she's giving him a harder time.
Is that how you guys got together?
I'm giving you guys the ultimate prize pack, a hat that says, I'm watching this movie for a podcast, and a poster, and a coffee drink. There you go. That was great.
Paul, we got to get to Confused Black Man.
I just wanted to like, take the speech at its point. So at that point,
no, you're right.
He's not nervous. And by the way, why not just make him nervous? Why not just make him a bat? Yeah, right, here we go. Everyone in the room loves it.
Criticisms? Mr. Raymer?
I thought it was very good, but I was unclear about one thing. How did they know he was the composer?
Oh, well, when they opened the casket, he was decomposing.
Slowest turn. Oh, you rascal!
Now, Tawny, I would agree with you, but I also think that that's a savvy actor who waited until he cleared frames so he could get a nice
reaction. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
He like waited. He's like, get that fucking head out. Then I'm like,
you're right.
You got me.
You're right. Because he did have to deliver the first half of his line completely obscured by butt.
Now, I will say, can we just, like, look at this.
Yeah. This framing.
Like, I just want you to look at, he's already in. He's already in on the joke. I want to just like look
I
at...
I would argue Leslie Ann Warren never gets the joke.
This is what I want to point out, too, is like when he's leaving the...
It was confirmed tribal composer. A true story from Central Florida.
I wish I had a little bit better fast-forwarding.
Thank you.
Right here. So as he leaves the stage, in his hands seem to be a lot of like stuff. Like, he's carrying... He has a big paper mache thing. He's got a scroll, like a legit scroll, a box full of objects.
Yeah. Well, when they like, open the casket,
he's got, he literally has like a shroud of Turin in his hand. a box full of objects and like a fully like, this is like a thing that you would make in class. That's a fucking great speech. Like, he did the work. He did all the work.
You're right, teachers. You're right.
She doesn't even fail him. She goes, I'm not even giving you a grade. And he goes, no grade. Like, he deserves a grade.
Wouldn't this scene be better after she saw him at the strip club? Because then she'd be like, I want to keep you around. Like, it's happenstance that she finds him at the strip club.
Oh, yeah. She has no idea that's his deal. And for her, she's just only late coming to the game of like, I would like to be one of the many people in this movie you have unprotected sex with.
Oh. I forgot about this nut scene.
This scene where she's on the phone for the entire, and they never cut to someone else.
No.
So it's just like,
and
wait, where is it? Yeah, she's
the audio is so low. It's so low. They also they're like seemingly eating breakfast. I believe she offers him like Oreos or cake or something, cake or tea.
It'll rot his bones. All right, so this
everything happens so slow.
Real time.
Hi, it's your baby sister. Ready for the
Any words?
I'll bring the popcorn, you bring the gin.
Ugh. Popcorn and gin? Ugh.
Oh, God.
Again, keep in mind, it's Florida. Okay?
We're just throwing back shots of Beef Eater, and munching on some popcorn.
Orville Redenbacher.
We're all cheating on our husbands. Everything's a disaster.
By the way, I do like the foreshadowing here of the crooked NASA poster.
Akimbo rockets in this. It's just like dicks that don't go the right places. Symbolism.
Guys, I figured it out. What if the computer is sabotaging this guy's life? Because he didn't want to play games with him in the beginning.
Okay.
Computer gets in the system.
That's a movie I'd watch.
Obviously, we had an opinion about it, but now it's time for a second opinion.
The movie was a piece of shit, yet this person recommends it. Tell me, what is the message? Maybe that art is subjective. I need a second opinion.
All right, well, these are 5-star reviews. I'd like to say that they were culled from Amazon, but they weren't, because this movie is not available on Amazon. So I found these on IMDb, and there's only two. This one is titled The Body Beautiful by Jane Hill, written in 2005, and it goes like this. They weren't trying to remake Gone with the Wind. They were simply trying to please the audience with the assets and the charms of that beautiful 1980s underrated heartthrob, Christopher Atkins. Forever relegated to the blonde-haired guy in the Brooke Shields movie, this was his chance to shine, and he does. The chemistry between Chris and Leslie is incredible and undeniable. Their sex scene is like taking a peek in real life. Was that a tongue he slipped in her? But the real star, of course, is Christopher. What he is presumed to have lacked in thespian quality, he more than makes up for, not only with his gorgeous looks, but his charisma. He never wanted to be Spencer Tracy. He simply wanted to entertain us. And a night in heaven, he does. Viva Atkins! 10 out of 10.
I have never been more certain of anything in my life than the fact that that was written by Christopher Atkins. He didn't even want to be Spencer Tracy. He just wanted to be a fun guy.
Spencer Tracy? Is that what we hold people up to? Like, there are no Spencer Tracy. Like, that's not like the high regard of acting. This is from an 80s girl.
I agree with you, Paul. Spencer Tracy is garbage.
November 2003. I saw this when I was young, and I never really got it until I was 30. The writer really identifies with the conflict someone, the lead female, feels at this age. How lonely and stagnant marriage can be. The urges and desires you feel that you missed out on when you were younger. Every time I see this film, I cry. Because I can really identify with every woman in this film. From Slick to Patsy to Faye. And even Rick's mom.
Nameless.
I have yet to see a film that captures everything a woman can be. A housewife, a vixen, a mother, a sister, etc. I have been with one person for 8 years and will always look for my night in heaven. P.S. Love the way Atkins nibbles on his cookie while looking at Warren. 9 out of 10.
Wow.
I hope that, she put newspapers down.
That is a harrowing journey.
This movie was released November 18th, 1983. It came in at a tight 83 minutes. Budget $6 million, opening weekend $1.8 million, domestic gross $5 million. The top three movies of 1983, Return of the Jedi, Terms of Endearment, and Flashdance. This movie was ranked 96th out of all movies made in 1983, and it was beaten by Staying Alive and Superman 3, which we did on this this podcast here, and the movie beat nothing that we've done in this podcast. And that is a night in heaven. Anything that we haven't covered, anything we have not covered that you guys want to bring up as we roll into the closing thoughts of this?
So many buns.
So many buns. So
buns,
many
hot crust buns.
Bad costumes. I like the stripper who just had the word serviceman written in Sharpie on the back of his stripper outfit.
That's the buddy from the dance class, I think.
But what kind of serviceman?
Just a regular one. You know,
serviceman.
So many times I write, who is this movie about?
I also, there was one line of dialogue I really liked that inspired me. I liked when Slick was at the strip club or the bar. It all blends together. Nothing matters. And someone said, hey, are you that girl from the car commercial? And she goes, no, I'm her brother. I was like, that's such a baller ass line. I'm going to do that when like men are like, hey, girl, how tall are you? I'm going to be like, I'm not actually, but my brother is. They're just going to be like, what? What did you say? Just confound them, change your gender.
I wrote,
like, over an hour into the movie, I wrote, remember when he was at NASA? Hey, he's in her bedroom now reading old letters. Oh, that's the friend from the dry cleaner. Boy, this so much happens in this movie.
I just wrote big words nanny across, which is when my nanny walked in on me.
Oh, God.
Watching this movie.
The first scene with the wife, when he's like, do you want to play hooky? And she's like, no, I got to go pick up my sister. Then she goes, the Chicago airport went on strike. I'm like, you couldn't say O'Hare in this movie? There was no name brands allowed of airports?
But they clearly got Disney, no problem.
Disney, no problem.
Paul, will you fast forward? You fast forward to the end when Slick and Rick are in the shower.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, I think.
Oh, yeah. She looked.
Wait, maybe a little before.
Right.
Oh, no, yeah, this is good. Okay, so, cool. They're rinsing off, they're in the shower. Okay, he opens the door. He gives her a towel.
In the water.
The shower is on. Shower still on.
She throws the towel
get
away.
Get the soap out of her eyes.
He's gonna go down on her now. Why? Why did he open the door and give her the towel if they weren't done?
I guess to get the shampoo, because
you can stop now.
He washed her hair.
I was like, what's happening?
He washed her hair, which is the most white people shit I've ever seen in my life. A man washing your hair?
You know, but that was just like an hour on set that day being like, we're not going to be able to see her through the glass door. We got to find a reason that he opens the shower.
The door has to be open. Well, if I open the door, I would obviously give her a towel.
Great, that tracks.
Should
that
we shut the water off?
No.
Why did the husband go like full commando and start wearing camo in this movie too? Like, he goes crazy psycho. It's like he's in full camo. Like, he becomes the army guy.
He also, when
by the
he
way,
shows
he's
up,
totally blending in on the street.
When he shows up at the hotel, he's in some kind of like security headquarters because he's watching him on like a security feed.
What hotel is this that have like security cameras in that shitty hotel's like elevators? He's like, hold on, I gotta go. I see it. That's so weird.
No, it's all so bad. This might not be worth it, but it was I loved it so much. Can you go to the scene where Patsy is leaving in the airport?
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's great.
When she decides not to go, the look on the airport security man's face when he can't take her bag is amazing.
It's right before this.
She gives him a look like, no, I'm not giving
She's
you
like,
this bag.
She's like, I can't leave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's right here.
He's like, I'm going.
Watch, homeboy.
No.
So disheartened.
By the way, if you did that now and you looked like me, they'd be like, get over here.
Yeah.
I once started to go to security and then was like, oh, fuck, you know what? I'm going to go to that Dunkin' Donuts and get a coffee because there was a line. And I was like, I'll drink it during the line. I go to Dunkin' Donuts, I come back and they're like, you left the line. We'd like to talk to you over here. And I was like, what? They're like, you left the line. I was like, I went and got this coffee. They're like, we're going to need to talk to you over here. You've seen what you look like, right?
Jason, do you recommend this movie?
Yes! Of course I do! Of course I do! I recommend this movie above all movies. This was amazing and confounding. I'm not sure it was a movie. This was nonsense. This was a series of scenes with people in them. I guess it had a story. Not sure. Wow, if you were to tell me my favorite character was Rick's mom, I'd be like, okay. I can't make heads nor tails of what this is, which must mean it's great. I really think you should watch this.
Yeah. Tawny.
I do recommend this movie because as a woman, never have I seen a film that portrays all aspects of the female experience. It shows that you can be a stripper, you can be a girlfriend, you can be a girlfriend who doesn't mind that her boyfriend's a stripper, you can be a sister who looks like a girlfriend, you can be a teacher, you can be a mom, you can work at a coffee shop, you could be a mom that works at a coffee shop, you could be Shirley, their sloppy friend who looks like she has a silver tortilla chip on her chest. It's all aspects of the female experience boiled into one film that really just essentially is just updo or hair down. That's the entirety of the female sexual expression, and I'm here for it. Thank you for giving me an outlet. I've been with the same man for 8 years.
Jen.
I would recommend that you watch this movie, but only as research for Kid Businessman. Hopefully coming to theaters near you by, I don't know, 2020. I'm going to write it tonight.
Please.
If you wrote a script tonight, it would be better than the script of this movie. I guarantee it. If you wrote it tonight and finished it by like 4 a.m, which is like 30 minutes away.
This was amazing.
This was the longest show we've ever done. We thank you for staying here. I will say that I also recommend this movie. While people were lining up in theaters to watch Return of the Jedi in 1983, they should have really seen the battle between the inner good and the inner evil that Leslie Ann Warren played, because she is my Luke Skywalker, going between the dark of the stripper side and the light of the husband who likes to kidnap strippers. That is the true Star Wars picture right there. What do you got going on, Tani? What do you got going on?
Everyone, please listen to The Supergroup. It's my little passion project. If you like music,
this
written...
is amazing. Explain the whole thing. Right?
Oh, thank you. No, it's a so it's a Stitcher Premium show right now, and basically we took my co-host Alex Kleiner and I. We're both musicians and we're comedians, so we took people who are both of those things: someone from the world of music, someone from the world of comedy, and then in 7 days we write and record like a legit album-worthy type song. And we have amazing guests. We have like Ted Leo, Paul F. Tompkins, Open Mike Eagle, Sashir Zameda, like just tons of people. And we just did a limited season so that we could try to build up to an album. So we talk about making the song. So it's like Song Exploder, but for a song you've never heard before. So if you like things you're not sure you like, and you want to hear funny people talk about the creative process, that's what that is. But it's just been, I mean, Stitcher and Earwolf have been such a like amazing support because it's a very demanding show.
Yeah, so. That seems so intense and it's awesome. Definitely check it out.
But I basically tricked them into producing an album for me, so it's... It was worth it for me. I was like, you guys pay for this, right? And they were like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jen, what do you got?
My dog has an Instagram.
And what do you think? What is a dog posting? What kind of thoughts?
Well, see, here's the thing. I thought it would be funny to start an Instagram for my dog just to try to get one free BarkBox, and then I would immediately delete the account.
What's a BarkBox?
It's like a subscription box. This is good. If I advertise for them, maybe they'll send me one. It's like a subscription box of like dog toys and dog food and dog treats.
And you just wanted one of those?
I just want one. And I just thought it'd be funny.
Did you get it?
No, because I started the account and it was a bit of like, I just want one free BarkBox. And they sent me a DM that was like, you need 10,000 followers. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. For just a BarkBox.
There's one BarkBox. That's all I want. So if you could just follow
And you are
Mr.
a successful writer, performer, you can buy the contents
buy
of a BarkBox.
This
Bark
is
Box,
a
yes.
sad story.
I've been with the same man for 8 years. I just want my dog.
You're a vixen, a mother.
Yes.
So maybe if everyone that listens to the show and then tells like another couple thousand people,
yeah.
they can, yeah.
Mr. Walnut on Instagram. Mm. I hardly post, but
you're really selling it. You're really selling it. Jason,
you know, I don't have anything going on.
There you go. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Avril Halley, for cutting these clips. Thank you to July, Alec up in the booth. Nate Kiley does all of our research. Thank you all for listening to the longest one that we've ever done.
Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit beddies.com. That's BEDDYS.com.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.